Matthew 15:29-37. Jesus went on from there, and he walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountain, and he sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him, and he said, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. And the disciples said to him, where are we going to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven, and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the seven loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up seven baskets full of the broken pieces left over.
Mm.
1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Mm. Amen. Thank you, sisters. In our passage over in 1 Thessalonians 5, we're finishing up today a series of three messages. I've enjoyed this. I don't know what I'm going to preach on next week, although maybe I have a direction. But it's always nice to have a series because I know where I'm going next week. But this has been good. I've entitled the message today, The Eucharist. We have so much for which to thank God for. We're blessed beyond measure. You are blessed beyond measure. Say it with me. I am blessed beyond measure. I am blessed beyond measure. You are. The enemy will tell you that you're not. Sometimes you'll tell yourself that you're not, but you are blessed beyond measure. And then Paul wrote for those of us who are followers of Christ, he says in Romans 8, he who did not spare his own life but gave him up for us all, how will he also not with him graciously give us all things? I guess that promise is for everyone, believers and unbelievers as well. In the Bible studies last week at the Phoenix House, and at the parsonage, we review some of these things that God has given to us through Christ. On Monday's group, there's a group of ladies that meet with me. And we identified some of the things that Jesus has done for us. On Wednesday evening, we looked at the same passage over in Colossians 1 and 2, rehearsing his gracious gifts to us. Let me give you some examples of what God's given to us just in Colossians chapter 1 and 2. I'll give you chapter 1. He strengthened you with all power. Verse 11. My goodness, what does that mean? It's big. Okay. Verse 12, he qualified us to receive the inheritance. We're qualified to receive the inheritance of God, of Christ. That's huge. Verse 13, he rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He's given us all things. He forgave us our sins, verse 14. Verse 21, he reconciled us to God. That's huge. That's what we're celebrating here today. He canceled the written code with its regulations that were against us, nailing them to the cross. Hallelujah. Verse 26 and 27, he made known the mystery, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's just chapter 1. We have so much to thank him for. But you know, it's easier to complain than to thank him. Have you noticed that? It's more fun, too. being challenged by his articulate priest, a bright, sensitive young man decided he wanted to become a monk, and he discussed it many times during high school days with the pastor of his parish. Seeing he could not discourage the aspirant, but warning him of the rugged discipline required, the pastor finally recommended the lad to the proper authorities. The superior in charge of the desired order told the candidate he'd be allowed to speak but two words for the first 10 years. And at the end of that exhausting period, he was asked, "Do you have any comment?" "Food cold." Another decade of dedication was endured, and the monk's confessor asked, "Do you have anything to say?" "Bed hard." At last, the third decade of silence passed, and again the candidate for the chosen order was asked to comment. "I quit." "Good," replied the superior. "You've done nothing but complain for the last 30 years. We're to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." The Bible says it's God's will for us. That word thanks is the word Eucharist. Say that with me. Eucharist. All right? It's a Greek word. Eucharisteo. I was going to have you say that, but that's almost too much. So we'll just say Eucharist. All right? It means to give thanks. It means to be thankful. It can even be translated rejoice, which reminds us of the other two commands in this verse. Rejoice always. We've talked about that recently. Pray continuously. We talked about that a little bit. And now, give thanks in all circumstances. And this word, give thanks, it's also in the imperative form. It's a command. It's not an option to give thanks in all circumstances. And we've been talking about circumstances this morning. It's durative as well, which means this is the way our lives should be from here on out. It's going to keep going. These commands are not just for this afternoon. They're for this afternoon and the rest of our lives. What's the first one? Rejoice always. What's the second one? Pray continuously. Yeah, without ceasing, some verses say. And what's the last one? Give thanks in all circumstances. Here on out. All right. This is what the Lord God is telling us this morning. At the end of our lives, will you be remembered as a complainer, never satisfied, or will your life be marked by an attitude of gratitude? I hope it's the former. Someone that's always appreciative, someone that's always thanking God. The Bible tells us to always give thanks to God for everything in Ephesians chapter 20. In Colossians 4, it says in verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. That word thankful is Eucharist. Say that. Eucharist. I love the story of the leper in Luke 17, 16, who threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. It's the same word, Eucharisteo, okay? It's Eucharist. Perhaps you haven't been too good at doing this up until now. May the Holy Spirit help that to change in us. Change that in us today. Can we live the rest of our lives doing His will? I don't think God would have asked us to do this or commanded us to do this unless it's possible to do. Let me read for you 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Since Christ suffered in His body, and He did for you and me, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Verse 2 says this, as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for human desires, but rather for the will of God. And that's what we're trying to do this year, is to understand the will of God so we can live for Him according to His will. And God's will is that you rejoice always, that you pray continually and that you give thanks in all circumstances. I want to read for you right now something old. Do you know anything that's old? Think about what it is that's old and give me a date. Or how many years is it? Quick. Something old. How many years?
The Bible.
All right. Bible is old. All right. How many years? Do you know?
4,000 plus.
All right. 4,000 plus. All right. That's probably pretty close. United States is pretty old. How many years? 440. That's what she's going to say. Yeah. Something else that's old. All right, you stop looking over at that person. That's not fair. Well, this is pretty old. This is 1641 years old. This is a piece of writing that was written by John. Chrysostom in 375 A.D. Sometimes we miss out on a lot because we only read the new stuff, but we can get a lot of insights when we go back and read some of the old stuff. Listen to the words of this man. Most opportunely have we all this day sung together, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. For marvelous and beyond all expectation are the things which have happened. A whole city and so great a population, when just about to be overwhelmed, to sink under the waves and to be utterly and instantly destroyed, he hath entirely rescued from shipwreck in a single moment of time. Let us give thanks then, not only that God hath calmed the tempest, but that he suffered it to take place. Not only that he rescued us from the shipwreck, but that he allowed us to fall into such distress and such an extreme peril to hang over us. Thus also Paul bids us in everything give thanks. But when he says in everything give thanks, he means not only in our deliverance from evils, but also at the time when we suffer for those evils. For all things work together for good to them that love God. Let us be thankful to him for this deliverance from trials, and let us never forget them. Let us devote ourselves to prayer, to continual supplications, and to much piety." He's preaching my sermon here, but he says it so well. Christians are to be thankful people. Yet we often display an attitude which is characteristic of the unchurched, of people who don't know who Jesus is. Sometimes all the world hears us do is gripe. We gripe about church. We gripe about people. We gripe about the government. We gripe about our work. We gripe about the people we work with. We gripe about our present lot in life. You might even gripe about the sermon. We gripe about what the future will probably be like. We're like Matthew Arnold. I love this little story. When he died, a neighbor quipped, "Poor Matthew, he won't like God." Gives you a little insight into the character. Paul challenges us in Philippians 2, 14 to 16, to do everything without grumbling or complaining. Giving thanks is to be our new attitude. What's the word? Eucharist. Say it with me. It, to express gratitude for benefits or blessings in everything. We really can be people of the Eucharist. Matthew Henry, the famous scholar, was once accosted by thieves and robbed. And he wrote these words in his diary. "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." He's got the right attitude. This guy's got the right attitude. I appreciate this one too. One item sent in for copyright at the Library of Congress was a book by a Texas businessman. He intended to hand out copies to his customers and friends, and it was titled A Million Thanks. And it consisted of the word thanks repeated a million times. No thanks, replied the library, declining to register it because a single word is not copyrightable. Jesus showed us how to give thanks. The Eucharist is not just a word. The Eucharist is an attitude. Giving thanks is an attitude. In Matthew chapter 15, and I want to read some verses there with you. Matthew 15, 36. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000, besides women and children. Jesus took the 7 loaves and he gave thanks. He broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they gave them to the people. And how many people ate? Okay. 4,000 men and their families. So imagine that, how many people ate from this. I believe that was practice for another day. A day and an event that we're remembering right now, because over in Luke chapter 22, verse 14, it says this. Luke 22, verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among you. Does it sound familiar? It's what he had done earlier in his life. And the Bible says he took the cup and he gave thanks. Guess what the word is? Eucharist. Same word. Give thanks. I Googled the definition of Eucharist. And it told me that it was another name for Holy Communion, the Christian ceremony commemorating the Last Supper, in which bread and wine are consecrated and consumed, the consecrated elements, especially the bread. Some denominations consider the Eucharist the most important and highest form of prayer. In fact, attending the ceremony is an obligation. What was Jesus about to do when he was in the upper room? He's about to die. We know how hard that death is. We know the enemy that death is, except for personally experiencing it. Most of us in this room, it's the last enemy to be destroyed, one of the last enemies. I want you to know that Jesus was God, but at the same time he was God, he was also class. He's man. He was the Son of God, and he was born of the woman. He was man and God at the same time. So he had emotions. He understood things. He had feelings. And my Bible tells me that Jesus gave thanks for the cup. He gave thanks for the privilege of dying. Wow. Jesus knew how to give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances. Not just because he was God, but he had learned that when you come to understand what God has you experience, you experiencing is all a part of his plan, then you can be thankful. It took my friend Keith 3 months of lying in a hospital before he said, "Okay, I get it. This is God's thing. It's not just my thing." And he's able to give thanks. And just a few days after that, that's when he died. Sometimes it takes us a while to figure it out. Oh, this is those circumstances that I'm going through are part of the plan. Oh, I get it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Until we get to that place, very difficult for us to be thankful people. But when we understand what we're cradled in his hands and he's taken us through, then we can give thanks when? In all circumstances. Right now we're going to share together around this table. Jesus indirectly nicknamed what we call the Lord's Supper. He nicknamed it the Eucharist. Giving thanks. One last scripture I want to read to you. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also, not with him, graciously give us all things? The least we can do for this God of ours, for this Savior of ours, is to give him thanks. What's the word? Eucharist. Eucharist. Give thanks. In all circumstances, we're going to give him thanks for what he's done for us now. Would you come? Let's gather around the table. If you've been following Jesus for a while, you understand what we're doing here. Because this is one of the things that Christians do. Jesus has asked us not only to be baptized, but he's also asked us to remember him by taking of the Lord's Supper. Some groups call it the Eucharist. Now we know why. You're here doing that. I want to thank you for being obedient. And if you're a follower of Jesus today, I welcome you to participate. If you haven't given your life to Jesus yet, if you haven't received his forgiveness in your life, I will encourage you not to partake. I could read some scriptures to you right now that would say this could actually make you sick if you don't know who Jesus is. Some people have even died because they've been disobedient to this. So I encourage you, if you know who the Lord is, you're welcome to take of this. Afterwards, if you say, well, where is that scripture? I'll show you where it is. I think it's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But right now we're here to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. And the night before he died, he was with his disciples. And sort of just like he did out on a hill, maybe a few months before, with that miracle of the 4,000. In the middle of their Passover celebration, Jesus took the bread. And he broke it, and he gave thanks. Not so he could multiply the bread that day, but he was thanking God for something else that was going to happen. And you're part of the harvest today, those of you who know Jesus. You're part of that harvest. It continues on here. You're people of faith. And then he's asked us to do this until he comes back, and that's why we're gathered here. In the name of Jesus, I give this to you. And ask that you'd receive it with the attitude that he wants you to receive it with. I give it to you now. the Eucharist. It's not a word, it's an attitude. Jesus had the attitude. He wants you to have that attitude right now as we remember him together. Give thanks. And then he took the cup. He gave it to his disciples. I'm ministering in his name now. Give this to you. The Bible says Jesus gave thanks for the shed blood. He gave thanks because he knew what it was going to do for you, what it was going to do for me. Let's receive it with that same attitude. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us after that service in the upper room that they sang a hymn and they went out. Eucharisteo, we give thanks to you for loving us so much that you've given us everything through Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you that we can live this week with him inside of us, guiding us and directing us. Thank you that we can rejoice always. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the ability because of Jesus in us to give thanks continually. Thank you, Lord, that you've put within inside of us to pray continually. And thanks that you've put within us the ability, Lord, to thank you in every circumstance. We want you to know that's not hard for us, or that is hard for us, but we're gonna work on that with your help. And I thank you for the peace of God that transcends all understanding. As we think about the different issues in our life, I thank you that there's a peace way down deep inside of us because we know that you're in charge. Thank you for that, for our Savior, for our hope today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and everybody says, Amen. 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 Have a great week, y'all. Thank you for being here. Thank you.